Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for calling us out of the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light of your grace through faith in Christ, our Redeemer. We pray that you would always preserve us in this grace and in this precious faith, and that you would help us to continually do battle with those powers and forces which try to take Christ from us. Be with us tonight and strengthen us again through the proclamation of your word in both word and song. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, and compassion are yours to be found alone in the Savior. Amen. The text for our consideration tonight is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation in Ephesus, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Let us rise to hear these words in our Lord's name. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. I don't care if it was Penguin, or the Joker, or the Riddler, or Catwoman, but I could tell when I was a child, I could tell when evil suddenly showed up on the Batman show. And the reason I could was because the camera was tilted. The screen suddenly tilted. That was a very simple way to indicate to the audience, here is evil. It's interesting how children can very clearly, easily pick up on who the evil characters are, especially watching a video or a movie, a TV show. Certain colors, certain music, the mood, all of that indicates so often to a child to identify where the bad people are, where the bad characters are in the plot. But in real life, it doesn't work that way. We can't always spot evil so clearly. Some of it's very easy to see, of course, but the way the devil goes about his work is often quite invisible, quite hidden from our eye. The text before us says, we war not against flesh and blood as Christians, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness. So we can't always real clearly, easily spot the working of the devil around us. Now this is a very timely and important text for Christians at all points in their life, but I would maintain, especially for you here in your college years. Statistics even demonstrate that if there's a time for someone to fall away from the Christian faith, it typically will happen between ages 17 and about 23, pretty much the years that a person is in college. There's something about this time in a person's life when the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh seem to ratchet up the pressure and the tension that goes against our faith. In God's directives to us in Scripture, certainly here tonight and elsewhere, he wants us to first of all acknowledge the actual existence of this evil enemy who works to pull us away from Christ. Sometimes it's easy for us to kind of fall into the world's thinking that the devil and demonic things are merely fictitious images and vestiges from an old Middle Ages time, and that things like that don't really exist. But as soon as the devil has convinced you that he doesn't exist or you don't need to be concerned about him, he's sitting right in your lap. God instructs us to have a healthy respect for this evil foe, this evil enemy, and for his great cleverness. I'm here to tell you tonight that the devil is a Methodist. Now let me explain. That's Methodist with a small M, not capital M. The Greek word that describes his work among us says, be careful of the wiles of the devil. And that word is the same word from which we get method, methodology. To be someone who methodically plots and schemes. The way he comes at you and me in our spiritual life is not just some whim, not just some idea that's floating out there in the wind, but he has very meticulously crafted something for me, for you, for our weaknesses, for where we're at in life, knowing that if he can get at us in that special, unique way, knowing our weak spots, that he will have a better chance of controlling us. Here are some of the ways that he has typically attacked Christians with multiple strategies, of course, and all of these maybe hit people in different ways, but these are some of the frequent ones. They certainly have worked on me at times too. First of all, to allow your repentance to just end up being words. And along with that, to fall into a certain particular rut about certain sins, or maybe one in particular sin. I remember when I was in about fourth grade, the first time in my life, remember hearing a teacher use the expression, a pet sin. And I thought, that's a weird way to say it, a pet sin. We had a pet at home. I loved that pet. I wanted to take care of it. I wanted to feed it and be with it and play with it. Well, yeah, that's a pet sin. That's the way sometimes we can be about our sins. Almost nourish them, nurture them, take care of them, protect them, rather than bringing them to God in sincere repentance. Another trick he often uses on us is that our worship can be just turned into kind of going through the motions, to separate the words that are being spoken from the heart and from the soul. And another way is to just slightly alter your priorities in life. Maybe convince you that for right now, setting aside your relationship to Christ and putting it down just a half notch while you pursue other things in life of more importance, maybe that's just the little step that he needs to begin the slide of Christ in other ways. And finally, maybe to have us take pride in our Christianness. Take pride in our pedigree, the kind of family that we've come from, the great Christian family we've been raised in, and to start to kind of lean somehow on how good we are, especially when we see other students around and things that they do and things that they say. To start to kind of lean on our own goodness and on our own righteousness for how we stand before God, rather than on what our Savior has done for us. St. Paul warns us, to him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest you fall. Now understand this, if you are a child of God and have been washed in the waters of baptism and given the gift of faith in Christ in your heart, if you are a child of God, understand you are in the target, you are in the bullseye target for the devil when it comes to his work. He doesn't have to worry about spending time on unbelievers. He needs to spend his focus on you and on me. And in this world and in this life, he will hound you all the way to your grave. There may be times when he doesn't do it with quite the same intensity, but he will be there right on your heels the entire way. So our Lord wants us to understand the reality of our situation and condition in regards to the devil, because the fact that it's invisible could easily be misleading to us. But our Lord then directs us to himself. He wants us to find our confidence in this battle in him and in how he dresses us and how he arms us. Notice something in our text. St. Paul doesn't say to you, be strong in yourself. He doesn't say, be strong in your faith. He doesn't say, be strong in a feeling that you're going to get about God. He says, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Our strength doesn't come from us. It better not come from my faith, because my faith is all over the place, quite often quite weak. But Christ will never be weak. Christ will always be strong. He will always be on top in this battle. So God directs us, take up the whole armor of God. Don't just think that you can pick up one little knife in this battle. Use the whole thing, the whole arsenal. Pick up the whole armor. Put it all on. And St. Paul goes on in the words ahead of this, after this text, to describe that for us. Use every aspect of what God has given you in this great battle. Whether it's worshiping together with fellow Christians on a regular basis, reading and hearing Scripture, receiving the sacrament of your Lord's body and blood, going through the process of repentance back to your baptism to be cleansed again, hearing his absolution, praying, singing hymns with one another, the mutual conversation and admonition and consolation of the brothers and sisters in Christ as we guide each other in this battle. All of the armor that St. Paul goes on to describe is not just about Jesus. It's Jesus. He's it. When you, by faith, take him on and believe and trust in him and utilize his means of grace, you are armed with Christ himself, the very one who has the authority and power to drive the devil away with just a few brief words. By his death, he has destroyed him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, we hear in the book of Hebrews. That's why God baptized you into Christ, because it's only there that you have power over this evil foe. Now, as you go through your college years and on into your further adult years, you, like all Christians in this world, are going to stumble and fall down at times in this battle. But when that happens, get right back up through the process of repentance that the Holy Spirit works in your heart and go right back to the foot of the cross to receive God's beautiful grace and forgiveness for every sin we've ever done. Go back to the empty grave and be reminded of the great power of your Lord's resurrection, not only for the life that is to come, but even for the life that you're living right now. In him, in Christ, the one who sits victorious in heaven, the one who's prepared a place for you, in him, you are more than conquerors. Amen.